Welcome to another equipping message of Be The One Ministries. Our prayer is that this message activates, elevates, and cultivates you to be the leader that you are called to be. For more information, visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.
With a world that is so busy, I don't know if y'all ever feel like your world is busy? Come on. If you got kids, preach. You know, you should have weighed me down on that. I'm busy. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get off and have another full-time job, right, men? And I'll tell you, and I didn't even talk about you women because I know you're all working, you know, all the time, every time. I was naive when I first got married and we had our first child. And I remember walking in one time, and I'm past this thought. So when I say what I'm about to say, do not prejudge me. And do not put me on a hater list. But I remember one time walking in, we had just had one kid. And I was like, Katie, I look around, what do you do all, you know what I'm about to say, day long? We only had that conversation one time. Then I quickly learned, oh, there are things that you don't say. You know what I'm saying? You don't go into a big liberal rally and say, I'm a conservative. You don't go into a woman's house and go, hey, you, what are you doing? You don't, there's just things that you don't do. You know what I'm saying? There's things that you don't do. You don't go slap a big man. I'm just saying there's things that you don't, that you just know, and I'm not going to do this. And I'm going to tell you that, it feels like life can be so busy and you're running around different directions. You know, you're a teenager and you got this responsibility and you've got this practice and you've got this. It's funny. I talk to people who are retired all the time and they're like, I'm like, how do you like retirement? And you're like, and I ask them, how do you like retirement? And they're like, I don't even know if I can survive it. Yeah. I'm like, but you're retired. And you're like, I've been busier than I've ever been in my whole life. It's like busyness finds us. You know what I'm saying? And many times, we got to make some room in our life to schedule our priorities and make sure the main thing stays the main thing. Making room always requires work. Katie and I, for the last 2 years, have practically lived on the road. And I feel like I'm always making room. We got four kids, and we by design, put them in one room because we wanted them to fight selfishness. And we realized that either God would win or we would have less kids. Anyway, I feel like we're always making room. Like I'm always throwing stuff away. I have this deal where I cannot drive if my console is messy. Y'all ever get like really weirded out about stuff like that? It's like I'm going on a long drive and my wife, it stresses her out because I'm like, I can't move. I can't put my elbow anywhere. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, oh. And so like we have to clean up all the area because I gotta have my room. I gotta have my space. You know those people that come up and they don't understand proximity? You know what I'm saying? And if you're one of those people, I love you, but you're probably not aware of it. But here's the thing. It's like someone comes up and talks to you, and you're like, yeah, yeah. And you back up, and then they step forward, and you back up. And that's why I had four kids. Boom. Bam. You know, listen, you want me, you're going through them. I can yell. You know what I'm saying? It's like, seriously, we got to make some room. Sometimes I got to have my space. When you go to a movie theater with a guy, I remember, I don't go to a movie theater with a lot of guys, but occasionally, I got some friends, David, different guy who's over there at church, and we'll go to friends. We don't ever sit side by side. Like, there is a man rule, you know what I'm saying? And the only time that you can sit side by side someone is if it's a female. Okay, it's like when three guys, it's really funny. I did this the other day, and I'm sure y'all know this. It's not like ingenious or an invention or anything, but it's always fun to get three guys in the front seat of the truck and this guy bend over. You know what I'm saying? And the two guys, they're driving down the road, and it's like, I think it's funny. So just give me a courtesy laugh, okay? Just roll with it. It'll be better. Good preaching. I need room. I don't know about you, but I need room. Even I remember when we used to set up in the gym like you guys, I would always take an end chair and scoot it over a little bit. Because I had to have my room. I had to, come on. It's good preaching right here. I gotta make some room. I got some room. Stretching. But I tell you what, with our faith, if we don't make some room, if we don't intentionally make some room to connect with God, to receive his word, to operate in faith, and to take some practical steps, then here's what will happen, is our life will become redefined with all of our tasks and all of our duties, and every room that we had that was designed to meet with God will be taken by other stuff. It'll be taken by other stuff. And I want to introduce you to a woman that got a hold of this concept. I want to read you something. 2 Kings, turn with me, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Everything good, James tells us, comes down from the Father of lights. God our Father. Everything good that's happened in your life is from God. The devil doesn't give out good gifts. The enemy does not give out good gifts. It comes from the Lord. But here's what I want to say, is I believe that maybe in even some of you, there may be a silent frustration. Because you know what? It's very hard to deal with a dream that's never been birthed. It's very hard to deal with something that's going off inside of you that you've been thinking about and pondering and pondering and pondering, and it has not been birthed. And what I want to talk about is how to make some room to get that thing that God has put in you out. To get that thing, because here's the deal. It's amazing. I meet Christians all the time that tell me they have a desire, and they had this desire since they were 18, or they wanted to do this, and maybe it's something from the Lord. Maybe it's just the fact that they wanted to get out of debt. Maybe, you know, it can be super practical, or it can be super spiritual. But the thing is that if we're going to make some room, we're going to have to be intentional about doing that. About doing that. And if we're not careful, we'll have these dreams. I want to introduce you to a woman that had a silent dream. Undercover. Nobody knew. Maybe you're here, and you know what? It's funny, because when you're a kid, you dream loud. But when you're adult, you dream quiet. I don't know, maybe that's because maturity sets in and you realize you can't tell everybody everything, because if so, they get jealous. But maybe it's because you've tried a few dreams out loud and they didn't work. And so now I'm not going to dream out loud, because I don't want anybody holding me accountable to a dream that I spoke out loud. I'd rather keep that silent and quiet, and I'd rather deal with that internally. That way, if it never happens, nobody ever thought anything different about me. So I'll just kind of internalize it. Maybe you're here and you feel like your dream is out of reach. You feel stuck, passed over, neglected. Well, I want to tell you today that we are going to look at a story of a woman that her whole life was changed because she made some room. Can I just tell you real quick before we read this, there are way too many victim Christians. Victim Christians. Christians that love God but feel like it's never worked for them. It's never worked. I mean, it works for, you know, the Ellisons, or it works for the Brooks, or it works for the Sextons, or you know what I'm saying? It works for other people. It works for the Copelands. It works for all of these, but it doesn't work for me. Victim. 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 And you know what? You can see it. You can see it on people's faces. You know what? Christians are some of the most bitter people, pruned up face. Go to church and count the people that smile. You know what I'm saying? Bless God, I'm religious. I'm a mature saint. We don't smile. We know we're happy. But you know what? I have to believe that. You know what I'm saying? That a lot of times, man, bitterness, resentment, all of these, because there's something that you feel inside you. Because if you've been a Christian any time, you know that God has an intrinsic value, and there is a purpose on your life. And you know what? You hear a sermon, and you're like, I want to go do something great. Yeah. I want to change the world. But God put that in you. Yeah. Yeah. A sermon just called it out, but it was always in you. That's why we can't ever do away with the preaching of the word, because it calls you out. When all the world tries to tell you and feed you another thing, buy a car for happiness, build a new home for happiness, you need 3,600 square feet for happiness, you need another kid for happiness, you need another wife for happiness, you need, and God says, no. What you need is my word to unlock your potential. And then when I unlock your potential that I gave you at birth, something will happen that will change your life. I want to introduce you to a woman that she never speaks about her dream, but it's there. Quiet, undercover, undetectable. Let's look at her. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. My kind of woman. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this man is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed in there, a table in there, a chair and a lampstand, so that whenever he comes by, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that, can we just stop for a second? I'm gonna just stop. I got to read on because I want to get to some of the other points. But already, can you see, if you're married, can you see, this is a hilarious story to me. Because how do you think, okay, first of all, we got to go there. Carl, I'm going to put you in this story, okay? There's a woman, and she's going to take care of some business. All of a sudden, she sees a man of God, prophet of God, man of God. At this point, we all know that Elijah was the voice of God, the word of God in that time, right? And first of all, that strikes me. I like this woman. I like this woman for a lot of reasons, and I want to tell you that while everybody else passed up the word, she went and got it. While everybody else passed it by and thought it was common and the word looked scary and you know, I don't want to, you know, because Elijah, you know what I'm saying, dude could call down fire. Things could happen. I mean, you don't want to go run up on him. Don't bring him to my house. If it's not vacuumed, we got problems. You know what I'm saying? Don't bring him to, I don't want him to see my kids. She persuaded him, come to my house. Come to my house. Come, I'm going to fix you. What you like? You like chicken? I'm gonna fix you some chicken. What you like? I mean, you like pizza? You like lamb? You want some lamb? My lamb chops will make you smack your mama. I'm just telling you, come get some lamb chops from me. When you pass right by my house, come. You know you ain't got nowhere to eat. What do you eat? Tell me what you eat right now. Tell me. Eli, what's up? Tell me what you eat. Well, we eat beans and you need to come to my house. Look, you're way too skinny. Come to my house. I want you to come to my house right now. You need someone to love on you. You need someone to fill your belly. You're doing the ministry. You're doing the work of God. You need to come to my house. You're going to come to my house? You better come to my house. I think I'll come to your house. That's what I'm talking about. She persuades him to come. Then, after a while of eating, she's going to have a dialogue with her husband. How do you think that went? I mean, in my mind, I mean, the story doesn't say it, but in my mind, it's kind of like I can see the older man, the Bible. We got to finish this so you know what I'm talking about. All right, let's go back. This is pretty exciting. Okay, 11. And it happened on that day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and laid down. There he said to Gehazi, his servant, God, call this Shunammite woman. And he called her and he stood before him and he said to her, say now to her, look, you have been concerned with us and all of our care. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? I want you to see that. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. We're going to come back to that because that right there is powerful. He was basically saying, do you want to upgrade? And she said, no, I'm content. Do you want to upgrade? You want me to talk to the king? You know, I got people. I got a network. You know, I can go up and talk to, I can holler at the king or the commander. What you want? Y'all want to move up? Y'all want to get up? Y'all want to move in the city? What do y'all want to do? I am content among my people. Come on, if America could be content. You know, we preach a lot of sermons about lust. We preach a lot of sermons about depression. We preach a lot of sermons about pride. We preach a lot of sermons about sin. But you know what? How many sermons do we preach about being content? I always want the next thing. It's never good enough. I'm never happy. My happiness is based on what I get, what I buy, what I do, if my kids do well, all of this. And you know what? Come on, we saw the children of Israel. They could not be content. They couldn't be content. God was providing. They couldn't be content. God was providing. They couldn't be content. What is our happiness based on? My children's happiness is based on the very next thing I'm about to do for them. And they have an attitude when I say we're all done for the day. It's last night, we did fireworks. We had fun. After we got done with fireworks at like 10:30, we went to Krispy Kreme, holla. All of my kids got a free donut because we showed up at 11. If you go at 11, it's hot, just saying. And you know what? We're getting back in the car. We've had a full day. My kids have played and have fun, swam, did. And you know what? You'll never believe this. It wasn't enough. There was no, by the time we got back to the house, it was 11:45. There were 15 minutes left in the day. And what are we doing next? What are we doing tomorrow? Can we swim when we wake up? And I'm like, if you talk, but isn't that us? I need more. I need this. I need that. I'm not happy. I'm not saying, when am I going to get my house? When am I going to get my car? You know what I'm saying? When am I going to get that dress? When am I going to get that hair? Look at these nails. When am I going to? And there's always something else. There's always something else. And you know what? It's very easy to miss God. Because you're focused on all the things that you think you need. And this woman says, I'm good with my people. I'm content. I'm okay. I like it here. My soul is at rest. I'm okay. I can always use something more, but I'm not living to get it. I'm living to live. And you know what? A lot of people live life, but not a lot of people love it. A lot of people live life, but not a lot of people love life. As we go on, look here. She answered and said, I dwell among my people, 14. So he said, what then do you want me to do? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said to her, call her. So G went out, called her in. And when she had stood at the doorway, he said to her, there was no conversation. They weren't in a dialogue. She shows up in the doorway and he says, hey. And she's thinking, you need some food? What you want? I got some pudding in the ice box. She comes right up and he goes, hey, next year you will have your son. And you know what? She doesn't say thank you. You know what she says? I didn't ask you for this. My life, I have learned to live with what I can't have. Do not play with me. Yep. Because I have a dream in my heart. And you are calling out something that has been sleeping. And if you call it out, it has to happen. You hear what I'm saying? Here's what I see so many believers who have put to rest that desire, that hope. I was talking to a girl. We were at a wedding of this other couple, and I was talking to this the bride's sister. And this was last year. And she was talking about how, you know what, I just don't think I'm ever going to get married. You know what I'm saying? And I just said, if it's ever been a desire in your heart, don't pass it up. And she said, well, you know, when she was in college and she had bought into the system. And all I said is, if it's ever been a desire in your heart, don't quit it. Make some room. In 2 weeks, she's getting married. We were in Kansas City washing cars. She stopped by, opened her car, and said, I have to tell you this. I was probably done with marriage. I wasn't going to do it. I didn't want to do it. But when you said, if it's ever been a desire of your heart, make some room. And that one sentence made me go and start thinking, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. What have you locked out? What have you passed over? Because of a bad decision, because of divorce, because of anger, because of whatever? What is it? You have a desire, men, to be a good dad, to raise your son, to speak life into him, to see him better, but yet you're angry all the time. Come on. What this woman did is she made some room. I can't even imagine what that conversation was like. I can imagine the guy sitting down, reading his, you know, tablet, stone tablet. And she walks in and says, hey, babe, whenever you got a second, I'd like to talk to you about something. And he's like, yeah, what? What do you want? And she's like, yeah, I really want to talk to you about Eli. Oh, is he leaving? I'm tired of feeding that joke. That dude can eat. Plus, he always brings another guy with him. Man, did he get another house? Come on, go. We fed the children. Can he go on? Well, actually, what I wanted to talk to you about is him staying. Him staying? What? He's going to stay for breakfast too? No. I mean, I would like him to, when he's coming by, if it's all right with you, I would like him to move in. You what? To my house? You want that man to move into my house? I'm the king of this castle. Let me tell you right now. Man, I didn't build this house for you and me to bring another man. What you want to bring another man in my house for? You know what? Wait, what's going on? Now, look, we're going to talk. Man, now you crazy. Well, you're not bringing another man in my house. You already feed him. You feed him and his friend. No. I didn't even want him to come. You went and persuaded him to come to my house. Oh, heck no. Well, actually, what I was thinking is that we could build on. So not only do you want to move a man in my house in which we have no room, you want me to spend money to add an addition onto the wing of our house so another man can... Oh, my, you crazy. Something has happened to you. You've been out in the sun too long. You're washing the dishes too hard. I don't know what's going on with you. And actually, that's not all. There's more? Yeah, I would like to have a chair, a lampstand, a bed, and a table. Okay? You want me to spend the money that we've been working hard saving so that you can build a palace for Eli? You have flipped. You are crazy. You know, guys, we push back, and I can just imagine her flipping out at the very end and going, listen, you old fart. You don't want to ever give to nobody. You don't ever want to give to nothing. You're mean, and I'm the only one that loves you in your whole life. And I'm going to tell you right now, and you know, she get that. Maybe you've never dealt with that part, man, but let me tell you something. Listen to me. This man is the man of God. He's the word of God. You've heard the stories about him. You've heard what he's done. You heard about the power of God. He's got the word in his heart. And let me just tell you this. I'm trying to bless our family. And I'm tired of every time I have an idea, you think it's stupid. You think it's stupid. You think it's stupid. Let me tell you something. I have good ideas. Just because you're louder doesn't mean you're right. Some of y'all women are like, preach, preach. listen. I can imagine in that moment, yeah, I'm going, you know what? I don't think it's going to be that expensive to build on. You know, maybe let me think about, let me get with some of my guys and let's see what we can actually do to kind of make this. I think, okay, let me think about that and I'll get back. Listen, here's what I want you to see is that this woman made some room in her life. She cooked a little longer. She had conversations that were hard. She invested. They invested together. What are you investing for the presence of God to rest in your house? Because here's the deal. There was no place for the presence, and she made a room. In your own personal life, is the presence of God moving? Are you praying? Are you spending time? Is there a connection with God? Because there will be none if you don't make some room. And you got to make more room than an hour on Sunday. And 45 minutes on Sunday, on Wednesday night. You got to make some room. What would that cause you? Practical steps. You're going to have to build something. You're going to have to build it into your schedule. You're going to have to build it into your life. But the presence of God resting there will unlock something that's been dormant. She was smart enough to understand there is no presence, and I'm about to bring the presence to me. The second thing that I want you to get out of this is not only was she wanting the presence of God, but she wanted the Word of God to rest in her home. Men, can I challenge you to be the priest of your home? To open the Word, to speak. When you correct, you're just not spanking your kids because they lied, but you're teaching them about lying. You're talking about the devil. You're talking about the father of lies. You're talking about what lying does. You are the priest and the captain of your home. You are leading spiritual. She made room for the Word. She brought the Word close. Come on, this is not just a Bible study on Sunday of theology. If you take the Word, the Bible says that it does not come back void. And if you'll apply it, it will work. It will work. It will work. And the Word came in and started to produce something in her life. You know, we have so many ideas from this culture on what makes us happy. But you got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word. You got to invite it in. You got to know it. She got to know the Word at this moment. She got to know Him. Not know about Him. She didn't know about Elijah. She knew Him. She made room for Him. The next thing is her faith became activated. Her faith became activated. She started to believe the things that he said. She moved in. She wanted to make some room. She wanted to make some room. Listen to what I'm saying. And her faith started to be activated. And the Word, listen, called out something that was dead, non-existent, and made it produce. Come on, in the area of your finances, the Word can make that produce. In the area of your marriage, the Word can make that produce. In the area of your teenagers, let me tell you something. The love relationship with your parents, the Word can make that produce. See, but if you have your opinions exalt His Word, then you're always going to get in fights, and there's always going to be problems in your house, and you're always going to feel like there's one more statement that needs to be made. But when the Word is exalted, and we make room, come on somebody, for the Word of God, then things start to change. Here's another thing that we're just talking about, things that stick out to me in this text. In the process of time. Everybody, let's just say that. In the process of time. Go ahead. In the process. That's what he said to her. Too many times we pray for something and we want a miracle moment, a miraculous thing to happen right then. And he looks at her and he says, I'm calling out what's in you in the process of time. Some of you are frustrated because you're not where you want to be right now. You're not where you want to be right. And there's a process, and it's the process of time. And I don't know what to tell you, but you can't have a baby in 2 months. I don't know what to tell you, but it just takes some time. There's a natural progression, and where you want to be and what you want to see happen in your life, it's a natural progression, and it just takes some time. Time tests you. Time tests your patience. It tests your ability to wait. Can you wait and still be happy even though you know what you want but you don't have it? Can you still be happy? The joy of the Lord is my strength, not how big my paycheck is or how much money I have or if all my kids are doing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the process of time, there's a process, there's waiting, there is practice, there is patience. You have to rehearse the word. You have to rehearse the word. What did God say? God said, I want to bless you. I want to give you life and not death. I have a hope for you. I have a future for you. There is something for you. Somebody's got to make some room. And as we end today, is the presence of God moving and active? And have you made room for him in your heart? Is the word a pivotal GPS in your life? Is your faith active? Do you believe what you see, or do you believe what you don't see? Because the word calls out things that are intangible. Go ahead. It calls out a dream that nobody knows. And here's what I want you to see. I love God so much. He calls out to this woman, and he speaks to the very thing that is in her that she never told anybody. Her friends may not have known. Her husband may have forgotten. Other people may not have known. But here's what I want to say. Is that God calls those things. God knows what's going on in your mind. God knows that you're frustrated. You're not where you want to be. God knows all that. God knows what season you're in. God knows that what the deal is with the kids. God knows that you're fighting struggles. God knows all that. God knows all that. Let him do his work.
Thank you for listening to this Be The One message. For more information about Be The One Ministries, including blog, Facebook, and Twitter updates, please visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.